As we well know, across the Western world, it's very rare for an actress to sustain a film career into her 30s. The film star, Shri Devi, who died last weekend, was one of the few who broke that mould, going from child star to the Queen of Indian cinema, still going strong at 54. She's been called, of course, a Bollywood icon, but she was a pan-India star, clocking up, would you believe, over 300 films in five languages. She sang, she danced, she was the subject of a billion crushes, one of them from our next guest, Krishna Prasad, former news editor of Outlook magazine and now editor of the popular politics and culture blog, Churi Muri, and he joins me now from Mysore. Welcome to our little wireless program, Krishna.
Hi, how are you doing?
I didn't realise that there wasn't just Bollywood, there's a Collywood and Tollywood. Tell us about that.
It's a long story, but to cut it short, you know, India is a very vast nation. It's got 30 different states, and the peninsular part of India comprises of 6 different states out of the 30 states that we have across this country. These 6 states comprise nearly 20% of the landmass of this country, and you know, you could see easily a dozen or so languages and dialects in this part of the country. In these 6 states, you have a film industry in each of the different states. So in a state called Tamil Nadu, the Tamil language is the prominent language. So you have a Tamil industry. In Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, which are 2 different states, there where they speak a language called Telugu, you have a different film industry. In a state called Karnataka, which is where I am just now, you have a language called Kannada, and you have the Kannada language industry. And next to us is a state called Kerala, where the language is Malayalam, and you have a Malayalam film industry. Essentially, to answer your question, you know, although Bollywood has captured the world's attention, the fact is that these 4 languages make more movies than Bollywood ever did. For example, out of the movies that were all certified last year in 2017, there were 364 Hindi films which would qualify as Bollywood films. But the southern language films, the southern Indian language films in Tamil and Telugu and Kannada and Malayalam, in all, 1,296 movies were certified. So you get the scale of what we are talking. So Sridevi was, of course, a Bollywood star. But before she became a Bollywood star, she was a star in these 4 languages in the south of the country, which is a very large part of the country, as I mentioned. So therefore, she is not only just a Bollywood icon or a Bollywood star, she's actually India's first fully national, pan-national movie star, which means she conquered the southern part of the country before she shifted to Bollywood and Hindi. And so therefore, you had a star of an enormous nature. And I think that really is what it is, which is that she has achieved what no other woman actor had before her. She's achieved what no other co-star of hers has ever achieved in any of these languages. And most importantly, she's achieved what not even the biggest superstar of this country has, which is Amitabh Bachchan, which is to shine through in virtually every one of the 5 languages she's acted in.
Krishna, I spent much of my life cranking up the Australian film industry, increasingly concerned decades ago at the utter dominance we suffered by the Americans. And I must say, on recent trips to India, I got a bit alarmed to see that American cinema was, you know, seemed to be filling more and more cinemas. Is Indian cinema holding out from that global threat?
At this point of time, you have to say India is holding out. There is no question about that. Certainly, just like in Australia or in many other countries, Hollywood's imprint is all over this country. You know, many of the Hollywood films are dubbed into various languages here, Hindi and Tamil and Telugu and Bengali and so on and and so forth. But I think Indian movie, the business of Indian cinema has seen an upsurge in the last decade or so, where you have fantastic new theaters, where you have fantastic new production companies, and so on and so forth. So, and as you can see from various numbers which are being churned out for our movies, you see, and in fact, if you know, a star called Aamir Khan is very big and was very big, not just in India, but in China too. So what's happened is that you have a new set of metrics at play in Indian cinema, where there are lots and lots of screens, where there are lots and lots of stars, and where there are lots and lots of production companies. So I would say that in theory, I think India is holding out very well. We are making more and more movies. It does not mean that we'll continue to do so. But at this point of time, I think we are holding out very, very well to Hollywood.
And as well as the threat from America, there is, of course, the profusion of new technologies, which is having quite an impact on box office elsewhere. And Indian cinema is surviving that as well.
Yes, I think Indian cinema is surviving, not just because these movies are in local languages, but also because technology is being used very well. For example, a new movie on a Friday could be released in as many as 500 or 600 screens across the country, you know, and sometimes some of these movies are released on the same day across the world using satellite technology. So what's happening is that, you know, you have a profusion of technology, you have a profusion of movies, you have a profusion of opportunities. And I think India has been using that very well as a soft power across the world to kind of grow and enlarge and kind of make its presence felt.
Through the vast Indian diaspora, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a very vast Indian diaspora. And as you can see in many cultures, you know, China, Japan, UK, Canada, and USA, you're seeing the use of Indian dance, Bollywood dance, as a very prominent way of entering this country. So I think India has been doing pretty okay. You know, it's not qualitatively the very best thing, but quantitatively, I would say that India has done pretty well in these last few years, you know, in terms of, you know, stepping up the ramp and kind of staying afloat.
Krishnan, let's go back to Sri Devi, who I know had a big impact on you and many others. As well as her looks and her superior dancing skills, a lot of obits are telling us that she was a great comic actress. Was that a part of her appeal?
Yes, I mean, the stunning part of Sri Devi, to get a little personal, is that I am 50 years old. And to think that she was 54 when she passed away on Saturday night really staggers me. Because in a 54-year-old life, she's had a 50-year career. Can you believe that? A 50-year career in a life of 54. She started at the age of 4 or 5, and she acted well up until, you know, last year. So, you know, you can imagine how big this impact is, you know, a 50-year career in a 54-year-old woman in 5 different languages. But to get to your point, you know, I mean, the versatility of Sri Devi is something that really stands out. You know, we're all cricket-loving countries, both of us. But, you know, here is a real all-rounder. Not only was she, you know, was she able to keep herself afloat in these many languages, she essayed a number of roles, you know, starting from being just a baby to a child, to a girl, to a lover, to a mother, to a warrior, to a vamp. She's done it all. So in that sense, she's truly staggering for me, you know, personally speaking, because, you know, I mean, the range of roles she's done, you know, you would not say that she may be the very best actress we had, but for without a doubt, the fact that she was able to shine through in these many languages, in these many roles over such a long period of time is stunning. I was just looking at Drew Barrymore. I don't know if you remember the actress Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore was 7 years old when she made her debut in Steven Spielberg's E.T. And, you know, where is Drew Barrymore? You know, because the parallel with Sri Devi is very apt here. Because like Drew Barrymore, Sri Devi was a child actor. And the fact that she lasted so long, was able to break this north-south divide within this country, the fact that she was able to, you know, break through the glass ceiling of patriarchy that is so prominent in our film industry, you know, and the fact that she was able to achieve success despite her many limitations is truly stunning. And
I read in your blog, Krishna, that, well, you use the term glass ceiling, but she succeeded often without the need for a famous male co-star.
Yes, that is one. You know, that is surely the case that, you know, in many movies, she held the movie on her own, which is quite significant. Also, I would draw your attention to a phenomenon which is more prominently placed in Indian cinema than elsewhere, which is a movie star doing a double or triple role in a film. You know, the same star appears in different roles. Sridevi, to her credit, did a double role against the biggest actor in this country, which is Amitabh Bachchan. And she also did a double role in a movie starring the biggest South Indian star of all time, a man called Rajinikanth. So the fact that she was able to hold her own against people like this is amazing. But I think her comic timing, her ability to dance, her ability to elicit a laugh, her ability to be coy at one time, to be very enticing at another time, you know, all of these wonderful abilities, I think, really stood her, you know, head and shoulders over many others.
Krishna, before I let you go, the Indian media are in a frenzy and conspiracy theories are abounding. You know, one, that she was murdered, that she drank too much, that she was deeply unhappy. Will that settle down?
Well, that has to settle down simply because the police in Dubai, in the Gulf, have closed the case, one. Two, it has to settle down simply because she's been laid to rest today. And three, of course, these rumors will go around, but I think these rumors stem mostly out of ignorance of the medical reasons, and mostly out of ignorance of the way in which celebrities live and survive. But most importantly, I think in India, in the Indian media, there's a tabloidification of the media, which you're seeing reflected in mainstream media. And that is really the core of what is happening, which is that TV stations in particular, English and other languages, they are chasing eyeballs like they are going out of fashion. So they are willing to go down to the lowest common denominator to suggest anything in stories like this. And most of those suggestions are prurient, useless, and frankly salacious, and frankly useless. So I think it will settle down, but I think tongues will keep wagging. And I think Sridevi was used to tongues wagging even when she was alive. And even as she lies dead, I think she's going to experience that.
I note that Modi shares your enthusiasm and made quite an impassioned statement about her death.
Yes, Mr. Modi is very, very fast and quick in these kinds of things. But I think he has not just kind of appealed to the Prime Minister of India, but she's touched almost everybody across this country simply because of the durability of her life, of her career. I think she's touched, as I said to you, a vast mass of people in the south of the country, after which she conquered the Hindi film industry, which meant that she was accessible to nearly or known to at least three quarters of this country, and it's a billion plus country. So she was known to three quarters of the country in one way or the other, and I think she's touched everybody in a different way. And the fact that she's died in such a circumstance, in such a way, in a different country at a very young age, I think brings in all the other elements of this mystery.
Krishna, thank you immensely for your time. Krishna thank Prasad, you. Journalist, former editor of Outlook magazine, and now editor of Churumuri. It's a blog. Thanks, Krishna, and that, dear listener, is your lot.